Everyone, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have gathered. We are in thy holy presence this afternoon. We thank thee for this moment, for this hour that thou has afforded us. And Lord, we pause to bring our petitions unto thee before we open thy word, that thou would bless our coming together, that thou would empty each one of us of ourselves, and Lord, speak to us through thy spirit, that we would feel thy presence, we would feel the beckoning of thy Holy Spirit unto faithfulness and holiness. We pray, Heavenly Father, we'll be willing to yield ourselves and learn of thee. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for the reading for this afternoon, I desire that we would, with God's help, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and begin with verse 25 to the end. And then I'd also like to read the first four verses of Colossians, chapter number 3. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Dear ones, the words of our Lord Jesus here in this chapter that we have read bring out truths that I believe we perhaps dismiss often as things that are necessary in our lives, the pursuits of various things in our own lives of earthly mindedness. We just say, well, you know, we need to focus on our lives here, what we do, and so on, to live for tomorrow. And yet God never tells us to think about tomorrow. He actually tells us, do not think about the tomorrows. But what he brought out in this, and what I think I'd like to really focus on is verse number 33, where Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then he doesn't stop there and says, in his righteousness. So how many of us have ever said, we wake up or the thoughts during the day as we think of perhaps a sermon, perhaps some fellowship we've enjoyed with believers and conversations we've had, and texts we've shared, whatever the case might be, when our thoughts go heavenward, when have we ever said, I want to be more righteous? Probably rarely. We might say, I'd like to be better. I want to be better. I want to, and we kind of are comfortable with the thought that we have, that we want to improve, and we leave the thought alone, right where it came out, we leave it right there. And the application of what we may have discussed, texted, shared, heard, the application of those things is lost upon us. And as the brother even mentioned in the prayer, we stamp Christian on that thought. Just the thought. We stamp Christian on it, and it's good enough for us. And we go on. Because God knows I need to work extra hard for my retirement, for me. Everything is about me. And it's lost upon us that Jesus separates this life from a service and a submission of our lives unto Him. In earlier verses, he talks about our loyalties in this chapter. He talks about the loyalties, and he spells out specifically that you cannot love God and mammon at the same time. They go against each other. God goes against the love of money. The love of money goes against the love of God. One will cause you to hate the other. Think about that. Think about that in our pursuits for our earthly longings, the things that we want. You know, as I was reading this, a hymn that we sing came to my mind. I don't know hymns very well, but it says, rise, my soul, completely throwing off the bonds of vanity. And Jesus tells us here that it's better for us to trust in Him than to be anxious about the things of this life. And so he says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is righteousness? We might pursue, you know, the dictionary is going to lay out as righteousness as being the accepted moral standards of a society. It could be of a group, it could be of a nation, it could be of the laws of the land, whatever, an accepted moral fulfillment is righteousness. It's that which is right. God doesn't define righteousness that way at all, because God tells us that He is righteous altogether. And so His laws are altogether righteous because He is righteous. And so when He looks at human righteousness, okay, first of all, we cannot attain that of our own. We cannot fulfill that on our own. So what did He do? He gave us His Son. His Son gave Himself for us. And He became sin. He became sin so that we could become righteous. But we have to seek the kingdom of God in order to be righteous. And we have to make a covenant with Him, as we saw and witnessed three precious souls make that covenant with God. It's a covenant, a promise that is made, that He has given His Son for me, and I have forsaken my will. I've forsaken myself, my ambitions, my goals, I've given them over to Christ. And He has imparted unto me His righteousness. And then I fulfill the law of God. And God looks at that as human righteousness. And he does that here. And he talks about that, Apostle Paul does, in the second reading that we read. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. We are risen with Him. In the previous chapter, in chapter 2, he talks about being baptized, being buried with Him in baptism. We know to be buried, one has to die. So a death takes place. As Christ died, so we must die. This is seeking the kingdom of God. This has nothing to do with feel good, stamping Christian on my longing, on my one day I'd like to be a Christian. One day I'd like to be better. This is about being dead, dying to ourselves, and being buried with him in baptism. He says, wherein ye are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And he says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcised of your flesh hath he quickened together. You died, now he made you alive again, he says, together with him. You live now with Jesus. This is what baptism is. It's not a ritual. It's not just something. Well, it's just an identification. It's far more than an identification. Far more than that. It's an actually dying to ourselves and being buried with him and rising with him in the power of the resurrection. And now we are in the power of Christ's resurrection. It's far different than Lazarus. When Lazarus died, he rose up in the power of his own resurrection, meaning he had to die again. But when God makes us alive, when we die to ourselves, and he makes us alive again, we die no more. We are his. And it says, and he quickens us together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross. And so he says, now then, if ye be risen with him, not if, since you are now risen with him. With who? With Christ. And in his power, in the power of his resurrection, he says, seek those things which are above. As we read, Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God. That's what's above. Seek his righteousness. That's what's above. And God grants that to us. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Jesus, after he was in the upper room with his disciples and he gave them his instructions. He says, I'm going to go now. And we see him departing in the Acts. We see his departure. He's taken away. And he goes and he sits at the right hand of God on the throne of power is where he sits. And he says, since you are now risen with him, you seek those things which are above where Christ is. And so that power that Christ has, he imparts unto us through his Holy Spirit. And you and I, brothers and sisters, my dear friends, you know, you could call yourself a seeker, but if your heart is not set upon things that are heavenly, you're not really seeking Christ. You really aren't. If your heart is being set upon him, because no one can tailor a sermon or a teaching or an instruction to a seeker in the sense that I'm going to make this a little bit more easy, more easy to accept. It's harsh what Christ is calling. He says, count that cost. It's going to cost you what? Everything. You know, I love how one of the brothers, one of the converts here, he was asked, who is Christ? And the pause, and he said, he is everything. So seek him. He is everything. You know, that's a beautiful testimony. It made me pause when I heard it. He is everything. Now, is my life? Is my life that? Because Christ says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what you need to seek after. Because he says, all the other things, God knows you need them. God knows what you need. He says, set your affection, your love on things above. On things above. Rise, my soul, completely throwing off the bonds of vanity. Don't impress me. Don't try to impress me or one another with your possessions. It's sin. It's sin. Your affection is on things of look at me. You are shining out. Solomon, in all his glory, why was he not arrayed? Because he gave God no glory. He didn't give God glory in all those riches that he obtained. He says, Solomon, in all his glory, did not glorify God as those lilies of the field who come out in all their array of different colors and beauty, and the wildflowers that we see grown on the hillsides amongst weeds and thistles. Doesn't matter. They're popping with color and beauty. They glorify God. They're doing what God created them to do. They glorify God in that moment. Though they will pass away and be cast into the fire. And so you and I, with all of our riches and our wealth, in all of our glory, so we glorify ourselves when we do that. That's sin. That's sin. It's awful. And we don't even perhaps think too much about it. Let's see who can outdo another, who can have a prettier this or that. Or he says, set your love, the affections of your heart, upon the things that are above, not on things on the earth. Why is that dismissed so easily by all of us? At times we just pursue the things of this flesh. Set your affection on things, but not on things on the earth. Why? He says, because you're dead. Remember, you went to the cross and you died to these things. You died to these affections. You no longer live by the human nature. You live by a divine nature. A divine nature, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's our life. My life is Christ. Who is Christ? He is everything. What life did he live here for me to learn from? It's a life that was meek and humble. It's a life that was compassionate, full of mercy, never deviated from the truths of God. In spite of being spat upon, being ridiculed, being pursued, the truths always remained. That's a Christian today. When we are governed by the truths of God, his righteousness, when we seek his righteousness, governed by his truths, not the morality that is accepted by the world. Unborn babies are freely killed. That's the morality that is accepted by the standard of the moral standards of the world today. It says, when Christ, who is our life, okay, so if Christ is everything, he is my life. When he shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Jesus won't appear without us. We are his church. We are his. We are indwelt by his Holy Spirit. And if we have been, and if we have died, and have been buried with him in baptism, and if we have risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, and then it tells us here that we will also appear with him in glory. Apostle Peter says that according as his divine power, this is Christ, who is seated on the throne of all power. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us, okay, let's consider what Apostle is telling us here. As the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Life and godliness. How? How did he give that to us? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And then we're being given great and exceeding precious promises. He hath called us to glory and virtue. He hath called us. He hath given us his promises, dear ones. And so Jesus is sharing with us. You cannot, he lays out, you cannot serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is Jesus' words. And then he says, therefore. So he says, in the knowledge of this, what I've just shared with you, Jesus is saying, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And we're going to say, well, what am I supposed to just not do anything now? No, he says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. And everything in this life that you do, that I do, will bring glory unto him. Because as living a righteous life, not my own, his imparted unto me, as I put my faith in him and learn of him, and the knowledge of him gives me this virtue and this power through the Holy Spirit that is given unto me, I have attained to the righteousness that he imparts unto me in obedience to him and his divine and righteous law. And God looks at me and he sees his son as I've been baptized in his death and resurrected in his power. And so, dear ones, how many of us spend our weeks and our months and our years worrying about tomorrow? And Jesus says, don't. You know, not one of us ever worry about yesterday. None of us worry about yesterday. We might worry about consequences of something that I did yesterday, the consequences of which I might reap today, but we don't worry about yesterday. Well, Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow either. Sufficient is the day and the evil that is in it that you are facing. David said, I was once young, and now I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. That's nice to read. We know that that's who God is. He keeps his covenant. He cannot break it. He cannot. He can't do it. If he could, he wouldn't be God. He can't break his covenant. He makes his covenant with us. We make a covenant with him. And we all have testified that we alone can break that covenant. God cannot. We can. And King David says, I've never seen a righteous man forsaken. God won't leave you. God won't leave you despite, you know, we live in very uncertain times. They've always been uncertain, really. Always. But they seem to be elevated now. The uncertainty of many things that are taking place across the globe and you know, things can change abruptly. We saw 15 years ago or so the financial collapse and how quickly things just fell apart. And how quickly it can happen today. So all of your possessions and all of the things that we're seeking and putting our hope in may never come to fruition. Your $1 million may be worth pennies tomorrow, may have no value to it. And if that's what my hope is in, that's my preparation is for. Meanwhile, Yeah, and this is what Jesus is laying out here. If I'm seeking the kingdom of God, I'm learning from him. And he is imparting unto me his divine nature and power. And so if I am in the kingdom of God, I am very, very attentive to the needs of others. And so we have to ask ourselves, dear ones, we have to consider our own lives. What is my possession? What is it for? What do I want to use it for? Because I can glorify God today if it's used properly. And I can glorify myself if I use it improperly. Jesus says, you want to give to someone? Don't let your other hand know what you've done. Because if you do it to be seen, you've already received your reward. People said, wow, you're so giving. That is so nice. And you just say, yeah, you received your reward. Don't expect anything more. You got it. You got it. God is left out of it. But do the things that the Spirit of God will lead you to do when you're living in the kingdom and when you're seeking righteousness. Jesus says, take therefore no, some, a little bit, no thought. I'm guilty. He says, take no thought for tomorrow. I'm guilty. Okay, so now what do I do with that guilt? Acknowledgement of guilt. Well, you know, I'm guilty, and I'm going to be guilty tomorrow, and I'm going to be guilty tomorrow, and I'm going to be guilty tomorrow again. Because that's just how I am. I'm an anxious person. No, it's because my trust is not in God. That's clear. Jesus says that. I didn't say that. Jesus teaches us that. That we put our faith and our trust in him. Our love is in God, not in the things of this world and the possessions and the things that give me comfort and hope for a easy tomorrow. How easy can it be? We don't know what awaits us, like, at all. We know nothing of what tomorrow awaits us and what can happen even today, as was mentioned in the prayer. We have no idea. And so, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Jesus says, you need mercy today, and I'm going to give it to you. You need mercy tomorrow. And if you live to see another day, I'm still going to be here. Jesus will be here if we are here. He will be with me. So why am I going to worry? Lots of heartaches in life, lots of troubles. Lots of trouble followed the apostles, but they never lost their joy because their hope was in Christ, not in the possessions. Apostle Paul never showed anybody his house. He never showed them that gleaming new car. He never showed them anything. But he showed them a way to the heart of God. By the example of the life that he lived, by the divine nature that he was given, the power that was given to him, a chosen vessel by God to point you and me to Jesus Christ. He said, I suffer the loss of all things. What are you and I willing to suffer the loss of? It's a painful thing to suffer a loss, no matter what it is. It's something I like, it hurts to give it up. It hurts to give it up. We heard the testimony last week. The hardest thing to give up, the hardest thing to do is to give up your plan. That's the hardest thing to do, is give up your plan, your desire, your what you want to do. It's hard to give it up. It's the hardest thing. Why? It's no longer my will, Lord, but thy will be done. That's a radical, radical call. It's going to take the loss of everything that we count dear. And we don't worry about tomorrow. So fathers, mothers of young children, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what's this world coming to? What should I do? What can I do? Don't worry. I know it's easy to say, because I was a young parent too one day. And I worried just as you worry. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Just teach your children. Teach your brothers and sisters, those of us who have those who are unconverted, teach them the ways of Christ. That's it. Just teach Christ. You can teach them how to be successful. You can create all kinds of plans, take them to college, learn them, teach them everything, how to be successful in this life. And they'll never know God. And what, are we going to feel good about that? Are we going to feel good about that? But at least he was rich. At least he had. He wasn't a beggar on the street. At least that. Why at least that? What does it matter? We teach our children. We teach one another. As Apostle Paul did, he gave his life for service for the Lord. And teaching Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. He is everything. And he calls us to seek the kingdom of God and to seek his righteousness. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
The words of Jesus Christ, when taken to heart, truly are humbling. And they show us how weak and limited we are, and that we must look beyond ourselves for help. We must look to God. He is the one who can provide us what we are needing. We must look to the one that has spoken to us, to Jesus Christ, and ask of him to be born again, to be blessed with the Spirit of God, that he could do his work within us and make us part of that kingdom. I'd like to read a few verses from Jeremiah 17 in conclusion. The Lord says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord." In other words, there is pain and there is suffering that comes to a person who depends upon what the economy that is put together by men, the value of man's esteem that props somebody up, making flesh his arm, making that your strength. It says, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, or small bush in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited." But then he goes on to say, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." That's what Jesus promised. To abide in him, to abide in the vine, and then you will bear much fruit. You will love one another, you will care for each other, and you'll be known as my disciples. And what a rich life, one in abundance, the Lord is promising in his Son. May we all seek him with our hearts and faith. Amen.